Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to Storyboards with Esther Cohn, brought to you by A Team of Voices. A Team of Voices is a group located on allpoetry.com, the largest poetry site in the world. And I always like to say thank you to Kevin and his crew for everything they do, keeping the site up and running and giving us a place to share our poetry. Another thanks to A.T. Taylor for sponsoring this blog talk page. And thank you to Deborah Lee for running the group and the blog talk so we can kick out live. I'm your host, Sky, and every week we have different shows with different hosts and different themes. Talk shows, poetry shows, game shows, it's all here. Tonight on Storyboards, we mostly focus on stories and characters, comic book, D&D, a lot of geek things. And I am on my volume 32 episode of Star Wars. We are celebrating the show Visions, volume 2. We did volume 1 last night. So we are going ever onward with that. I hope you enjoyed the opening music. It was from the soundtrack. And the interesting thing about the Visions series, or rather the volume 2, is that all the music is done by a collection of different artists. So it doesn't, each episode can be scored by a different person, which I thought was really cool. It gives each episode a unique feel, because not only is the animation different, but also the music is by different people, and they're produced by different people as well. So it's just really cool to see the different little tiny stories that are going on. The music that we opened with was The Black Canvas and The Sith Apprentice, and they were both done by Dan Levy. And he's a French multi-instrumentalist artist, originally a soundtrack composer. And in 2008, he founded a group that do with Olivia Merilati. Their first album, A Mouthful, was a winner with audience, topping the charts with hits like On My Shoulders. We will be closing with more music from the soundtrack, but a different artist, and I will get to that later in the show. We do have some poetry tonight, and we do also, as always, have some clips from the show itself. And for these series, what I did for these episodes, what I did was I took certain clips from each episode. There's only 9, and each episode runs for about 25, 30 minutes. I don't even think one made it to 30 minutes. I think they were all 25 minutes or less. Some of them even only 13 minutes. So it's a really cool series, a very short, and the stories, I feel like anybody could pick them up and get a little piece of it, but really kind of expound upon it in their own mind and say, where does this go? And kind of be creative in that venue, which I thought was really cool. The first episode, I have to say, was just like season 1, I thought it was going to be my favorite. It really was my favorite for a while until I got later down in the series, and then I was like, oh, no, this one is. But I still think it ties. The artwork, for me, that's what did it. So there's, like, this artist, and she opens up. She's painting all these walls, and, you know, there's the contrast between, you know, in every painting, the dark, you know, black paint is creeping in on the colorful paint. The darkness is creeping in to her artwork, and there's this whole idea of you have to be completely light, and if any dark comes in, then it will consume. And by the end, you see, like, there's bits of both in everybody, and I liked that concept, because I do believe that concept, and I loved how they put it in there. And the way that they kind of showed that through art, and an artist, I thought was just quite brilliant. So I'm going to go ahead and start off playing some clips today, and I'm going to go from season 1, and we're going to go, it was Sith. So I'm going to go ahead and press play. Hope you enjoy. Just kidding. My ever temperamental computer is being temperamental. So I'm going to go ahead and here we go.
I cannot call it. It's like darkness wants to be part of the painting. Beacon 7, always failing. There's no signal back. Probably just another meteorite. Let's secure the area. The revolts are lit? Let's see. I'll be okay. But he was right about one thing. I am the master now, and I can paint my own destiny.
Awesome. So like I said, I just really like the artist aspect of it, and how she's like, well, there's darkness and light in both. It really was my favorite. I thought it was pretty cool. Well done. The second episode was kind of spooky. I thought there was this kid and there was this, ghost of this mountain, and they go in and they say, oh, well, we're going to find you, but it's actually the Sith, and she goes in and she fights it and she ends up killing it, but it had a little spooky feel, like a Halloween-y feel, like a ghost story, not really Halloween, but maybe that time, but more like a ghost story, the way that the child goes in and says, okay, we're going to go in to this haunted mountain and of this screaming banshee almost and follow that those screams. It was called Screecher's Reach, and I do have a clip of that as well. And then I think we'll go forward from that, maybe drop a poem. So here we go. Screecher's Reach.
How? What are you doing?
I'm getting out of here, Basin.
We're getting out of here?
Oh, yes!
Where are we going?
I'm going to Screecher's Reach.
No way! That place is haunted.
That's 3 days' walk.
I don't care.
Why walk? When we could steal some speeders!
What's going on?
You want to see a ghost? Having fun? Going to see a ghost. It's the workhouse.
What if you didn't have to go back to the workhouse? The farm? All of it? If you could just keep going, would you?
There are worse lives, Dal.
There are better lives.
Anyway, who would take care of that Egypt? Look at him.
Screecher's Reach.
This is a bad place. A dark place.
I follow your path with strength and courage. Some bad places are here to test us.
Is this it? An empty cave? I've seen more terrifying things come out of Tina's nose!
Stop you. Hold on. Dal, we need to stick together. Dal, quick, this way.
I was strong. You gave me strength.
And now it's time for us to meet.
Dal, what is that?
In my mind.
The true test is always in your mind. And you did what you had to do, right?
So, did I pass?
You passed. That's yours now. Come, child.
Are my friends too?
No. This was always for you, my young apprentice. Only you.
Dad?
She promised me another life. A way out of here. I had to try.
Make her choice.
Awesome. And yes, it just had a very haunting vibe to it. The whole episode, it was just very haunting. And I wouldn't say it was my favorite, but I thought this season, I'm not sure if I would say this season was my favorite, or the volume rather, or the first one. I don't really know. I think I would have to go episode by episode. But I hope you enjoyed that one. I do have some callers on the line. And of course, I don't know what's up. I'm going to probably need to clean out my computers, but it's my computer. But as soon as I can bring up Blog Talk, I'll let you guys on. Oh, there we go. Hello, Rackentor. How are you?
I'm alive.
Good. It's always a good thing to be alive. And you had a good day?
Yeah. What do you know from haunting?
What do I know from haunting?
Yes.
That episode was a little haunting. There was like a banshee woman, but it was a Sith. It was kind of haunting.
What do you know?
What do I know? Yeah. We did the haunting. We did those shows too. We also have Hatter. Hello, Hatter. Hatter.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay. I'm just following Rock around.
Awesome. That's a good guy to follow around. He's all right. Before you guys got here, I dropped Sweet Pea's poem. And I was just about to read it. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go right into that poem. And then I'm probably going to do a shorter show tonight because I am really tired. Stayed up way too late last night. It was like 11:30 almost when we got off. So probably will be a little shorter show tonight just so I can get some sleep. But Sweet Pea is bowling. I hope you are doing well with that bowling, and I hope you win. And she had dropped this poem, and she wrote, and I want to just, she wrote, "I'm bowling tonight." Well, she wrote, "Hey, sweetheart." Aww. Yes. "I'm bowling tonight, so I won't be able to call in, but here's my poem. It is based on the idealism of Vision's theme of knowing what the Force is, part of the journey, both light and dark, to understand, to accept our past as we work to be one with the Force," and all that gibberish. So, thank you, Sweet. This is called Raw Emotions by Sweet Pea. "A war of raw emotions float in a pool of bubble bath promises. Warm water pours into a porcelain tub, and the false tranquility loops around the body. A day of uncertainty snaps into brain, reinforcing spans of worry. Saltwater teardrops swirl in a trap of fresh water, and part of the waves for misery. Floating in stars of unreason, daydream sequences tap fantasies of grand illusions, spat out by tomorrow's bleak reality visions. Confessions rail on, listening to a liar's condemnation, self-indulged perceptions of evil, confusion, head dips underwater atop spots for silence. Deep space moments of clarity wash away today's brutality. Fact of confessions sink into the darkness as the water drains, written in shame. A steamed mirror holds messages of pain and poem." I thought this was really cool. I love how I wonder if she was like taking a bath while getting inspired by this. Like, I wonder if she was in the shower. Like, it's so weird. Not that I'm like thinking about that, but like, it's so weird to think about.
We are now.
Yeah. Where it's not that show. where your inspiration comes to mind, you know, like when you're like thinking, okay, I got to write this poem tonight for so-and-so. And then a lot of times what I feel happens is that if I know a prompt ahead of time and I'm thinking, oh, I have to do this poem and I have to think about it, whatever I'm doing that day, if I'm trying to think about it during the day before I write, it bleeds into the poem. So I wonder if this is what happened or if she was just sitting around just thinking, when I take a bath, this is what happens. This is a good analogy. This is a good metaphor. I'm going to do this. So I'm curious to which one it was, if she was just sitting around and she was like, this would be a good analogy, or if she was like, this is a good analogy. I'm going to use this while, you know, she's, or maybe she was brushing her teeth and look at the tub, you know. But either way, I want to know, was she in the bathroom thinking about the poem, or was she just thinking it was a good analogy? Either way, I think it's great. Yeah, choosy. I think it's great because right at the beginning with the bubble bath promises, you know, something of hope that you're looking forward to. Like, you say bubble bath and you're like, I would love just to take a nice bubble bath and relax. Like, there's something soothing and wonderful about that. And when you think of the porcelain tub, you think of the, you know, the white, pristine porcelain. Like, when you think, you say, oh, look at that white picket fence, you know, the white porcelain, it's nice and clean, and it has no imperfections. It's kind of setting you up for this fairy tale type story, and of tranquility, and of course around the body, like when the water pours in, and you're like, yes, this is it. But then you start in with the deception of it. You know, there's those worries, and you start to have the teardrops, salt water, which I thought was a cool analogy too. And then, of course, the turbulence of the waves that are happening for the misery. And all of a sudden, those daydreams, like she says in the third stanzas, of grand illusions are spat out. You know, they have the bleak visions of what reality could really lay in between life. I mean, there's not one person I know that had a perfect life with no, you know, hills or valleys or trauma or anything that thing. I don't think I know one person that said, oh, yeah, my life has just been peachy. You know, nothing ever bad happened to me. Though that's very, I don't even think that exists. So we all go through our own things. So I love how she kind of put that into a metaphor. And, of course, she puts, you know, the liars and those people that sneak in and then having the head underwater, because I know for me, I'm a water baby. I love the water, and I know for me, putting my head underwater and having that void of silence, but not silence, is soothing to me.
Read the line before that.
Self-induced perceptions of evil, confusion.
Confessions rail on, listening to a liar's condemnation, self-indulged perception of evil and confusion, and bliss underwater. Yeah, it's almost like a, don't want to hear it no more.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I do love the metaphor. I love the way you brought things, and thank you so much, sweet. Braxton Tor, what do you think?
You know, I love her use of metaphors all the time. When she mentions porcelain, my mind sticks on porcelain skin more than anything. And the water always reminds me of tears, whether it's fresh water or salt water, because, you know, situations you tend to drown. And when she mentions the force, to me, you know, she's talking about a bath, it's the water force. But, you know, it ebbs and flows, pun intended, I guess. she's got a lovely view of the situation, though, and the parallels to life in different situations. You could take it in so many different directions. You know, like you said, it's not that night, so, you know, you have to take it clean. It was a cool bath.
Awesome, thank you. No pun intended. And Hatter, anything?
Yeah. Yeah, the metaphors are strong. You're right. You need to decipher it. You need a little bit more information. I agree with you. So it's well written. Makes you think. We're talking about it. So.
Yeah.
Good job.
I always say, you should talk about a poem that sparks good conversation is a good poem, I think. So thank you, sweet. Good luck in your bowling. And Hatter, I don't see a poem on the board for you if you want to get one up on there. I'm going to do two clips, but I'm not going to do them back to back, but I'm going to do two clips, and then if you have your poem by then, we will do it.
Okay.
The next episode, so you guys missed the canvas, which was cool, and then the Sith Apprentice, I played that one, and then Screecher's Reach, you guys came in on that one. This one, The Stars, I think it was my favorite one. I really loved, I don't know, I just loved the whole feel of it. And you can tell I liked it because it's one of my, well, no, the other ones are a little bit, it's just my favorite, I think it was my favorite one. Besides the canvas, it was probably tied. But I just loved it. It was this, you know, the Empire came in, they took over the planet, and they polluted the waters, and they killed all the people that were on the planet, and then one of them had, like, Jedi powers, obviously, but they didn't call it a Jedi. They just had the Force powers, and she tried to protect them, and she died, and then her two daughters end up surviving, but they hide themselves, and they do this cool thing where they do this thing with the water and the rock, and they can paint memories, and it needs the stars for it to work. I'm not really sure, but if I'm explaining it really well, but it was just a really cool concept. And I really, really enjoyed this one. This is, like I said, it's probably had a top three in this season. I had a top three, and this was definitely one of them. So here we go.
This is all we have left, and you are wasting it.
No, this is important. It's from Armstrong. Mom used to do it like this.
I know.
And I will never let anything happen to you.
Sure, you aren't thirsty. Come on, drink my share. We don't have more tin water. I will get more. Think you are doing?
This is Sourland.
This planet's resources belong to the Empire. Throw her.
Because their mom is in the stars. I love it. I love that one. And that is the music that we're going to be closing out with, too. And it's by Andres Walker. And there isn't too much information, but there's some different shows and things like that. He's a composer. And I really love the background music of that one. So that is what we're closing out with as well. Like I said, I'm going to play two clips, and then we're going to drop Hatter's Poem. This next one, I don't even actually remember what it was, so I must have not have been too crazy about it, but I'm not really sure. I'm not sure we can do the clip. I'm going to press play, and we'll figure it out, but here we go.
This is your final call for the end-of-year family race of the Hanna City Flight Academy. It's our annual celebration of our pilot trainees and their families. Believe it or not, it's hosted by me, Wedge and Kenneth. Young Kenneth. Sorry for the delay to the family race, folks.
Family race? For families?
Oh, silly Billy. Can you come back later? Clean up will be after the race.
I'm not here to work.
Annie, can you get your porta potty off the starting line? Thank you.
Hey?
Don't worry, we're leaving.
Let's get strapped in.
Why are we strapping in? We are just moving the ship, aren't we?
Go!
Why are you racing?
This is a family race. And you're a pilot, are you?
Can we please just stop? This is crazy.
What, racing? Or the fact you kept this entire event a secret?
In these days.
Mom, this is exactly why I don't want to race.
days. All of this. This piece of old junk is embarrassing. Z1 barely functioning is embarrassing. You are embarrassing.
Oh, sweetheart. Is that how you really feel?
I...
Julan, Mommy's waiting. Do it.
I've learned a lot from you,
Mum.
I'm sorry. I should have told you about the race. Even if you can be a little bit embarrassing. Sometimes.
Of course I'm embarrassing.
I am your mother.
And there's that one. I didn't remember it as soon as it went off. That one was cute. I wouldn't say it was my favorite. It was cute, though. What I really liked about the show, too, is that it was very culturally diverse for Star Wars. Each episode, you could tell they have different accents. There's and not only the accents, but they bring different cultures into it as well, into the place settings, which I really enjoyed. Okay, Hatter, did you find you found a poem?
You can hear me? Okay. What can it
be? Do you have a quote this time?
No.
Oh, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. I was rushed, and I went and found one. So it's got nothing to do with Star Wars. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I have to widen my horizons. Okay.
Okay.
It's called What I Hate Most. Come on. You're like this. In this place I've landed, this air is thin. The pain can talk as it begins to tell me things I don't wish to hear. I cannot see through these storm-filled tears. The days gone by, I pretend to lie. Truth is seeking its due. Time has filled what's left of my will, and I apologize to you. I am not the man you think I am. I've hidden myself behind the words. They once wrote of beautiful things. Now they say it's their most concern. The gears have rusted. I now am stuck. I'm trying to smile, but I'm shit out of luck. And I'm not the one that the pain leaves alone, that shreds my flesh down to the bone. The Queen of Hearts now holds my pain. She's quite mad and has gone insane. I take this moment to confess my sins. I am sorry to tell you I cannot win. The piper needs paid and my rent is due. What I hate most is I lied to you.
Hmm. A little bit of a... Huh?
I said I don't.
No, I really like the ending.
I'm so sorry about that. I'm sorry about that.
No, it's fine. So I like... No, you're fine, Hatter. You're fine. Your call is victory. I loved how you start with the place I've landed is thin of air, or the air is thin, because there's the idea of shallowness in there, and the whole poem is kind of, you know, I cannot see the storm filled tears, is kind of like grief, right, of loss, and I apologize to you, which at that point you understand that maybe the fault lies with the speaker, but I don't think it really hits till the end, you know. And, you know, I've hidden myself behind the words. They once wrote of beautiful things, and I think as writers we were like, it's like a blessing and a curse, right, because sometimes you create these beautiful works and you love them, but they're rooted by a muse that might be someone else, that it kind of just, hopefully one day it can transcend that person that maybe, I'm talking in circles, I'm just going to say what I'm saying. A lot of us might write a love poem to a certain person. And then forever, that poem, you're like, oh, I really love this poem. But when you read it, it kind of links you back to that person. And you could have moved on from that person. You could have broke up. There could have been bad things that happened with that person, but you still have this beautiful poem that you love. But then every time you read it, you're kind of like, this is really about this person. And the same thing with breakup poems, you know, the same thing with apologizing poems. You have this piece that's cathartic, that is poetic, that people enjoy reading. Yeah, and then when you read it, yeah, you're kind of reminded and brought back to that emotion. And I remember Pretty Bird, when they did her show, a lot of people wanted, you know, we got to pick out poems that we liked that for her to read. And as one after another were all very powerfully emotive poems that were very emotionally charged. And she's like, why are you guys doing this? And it's like, well, they love it because it's your best work, because it's so deep and so true. But it doesn't make it any less painful for a writer to kind of live through that again. And that's the kind of blessing and curse that an artist with a pen has, or even with lyrics, like you had said. So I love that you put this in here. And then, of course, I love the Alice in Wonderland twist that you did. And, you know, paying the Pied Piper, you'll eventually have to own up to what you did. And I liked it. I think it really hits at the end that it's really, you know, the speaker is kind of just saying, I really messed things up here. And that's hard to say. Thank you very much. And Rack and Tour, what do you think?
You know, I think there's a lot of parallels to even Sweet Pea's poem in it. But, you know, the emotions that he churns up are really deep and, you know, familiar topics to most of us, and like you mentioned too, sometimes it's a person, but usually it's the emotions that are attached to it more so than the person, because they stir up those emotions. They're the muse, so it's possible that it may remind you of that person from that time, but they're still snapshots of memories to me. So it's not just that one person, because other people share those memories sometimes or stir up those memories in different ways. So it could be more powerful that, like you know, well, it used to remind me of this person, but now this person really, you know, it irritates me in this way or that way, or does, you know, this, that to me, you know, in a way that nobody else ever did. So, you know, before it was them, but now it's somebody else. And sometimes that emotion centers around an event, which, you know, I like to tie to a lot of what I do, you know, and it involves trying to say something to somebody, and they interpret it and consider it a lie, even though, you know, you're not lying, because they're not interpreting it the way that you intended. So it really gets convoluted and complicated, which is why, you know, to me it's art. And you know, if one person will look at it and see one thing, and the other person will be like, you know, that's lovely, and the other person will be like, that's not so lovely. That's about something hurtful, you know. And it leads to so many discussions.
Yeah, that's why I took myself out of judging, because I always questioned whether my interpretation of poetry and metaphors and such was valid. And I was sort of talked into being comfortable with judging. I thought I was fair. But when it came to conversation with other judges, it's like, man, I am way off. But they were considering top of a group. I didn't. So I'm back questioning the ability to interpret. So
except my
right
group, of course. You always agreed that my group was good, right, Hatter?
Yeah, and you
didn't know it was my group,
Was they that a gig? What? I think I misheard you.
I said except for my group, but you didn't know that it was my group.
I didn't.
It was a joke. I was joking.
I didn't.
You know, I think it's an important. It's that you bring up a good point, though. When you're judging, it's hard to judge, because how can you judge someone else's work when you're interpreting it the way that you perceive it and the way that you understand it, and it might not be that way. But that is every type of writing. That's every kind of poetry. And unless somebody writes an author's note, then they cannot expect you to know everything, especially when a lot of people use metaphor and they use abstract art and words and emotions and feelings. someone cannot expect you to understand everything they say unless, I mean, even well-known authors today, we have dissertations about the poem's breakdown. We have, they have studies on poems, on what their meaning is or what it is speculated. But it's all speculation, yeah. Right? It's not, it's speculation, and it's how you perceive it. So you can't say you were wrong because you didn't perceive it as just like three other people did. No, you perceived it the way that you read it, and that's the way that it's perceived. Now, with that said, if an author, if it's important to them that you perceive it a certain way, then they should put a tag on it. So at the end, you can see the tag, and if you see, if you're like, well, this is a happy poem, and then all of a sudden you see a tag that says pain, loss, you might be like, oh, wait a minute, let me read that over again with that lens. So, and then you read it through that lens. But if the poet does not put anything in their author's notes, if they do not put a tag on it, I feel like it's up to the, I feel like they have given it to the reader and that's it. Like, they're done. Like, however they perceive it is how they perceive it.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is one of the reasons why I hardly ever put tags on my poetry, because I believe that it should be taken. And then sometimes I do, and then whenever I do want it to be understood, I'll either explain something before I read it live, or I'll put a tag on it, and then I expect the person to pay attention when I do those things.
You know,
and
when
I gave a predecessor, when I gave a predecessor saying, this is, you know, this is that and this is this, and if they choose to ignore that, then I get a little irritated. But other than that, let it go, you know.
Do you remember Rooster Cogburn?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
The poet. Okay, yeah, I figured I thought you guys did. I judged a contest. And I had the show for it when we used to do the shows for the contests, right? And I came across Roosters that was part of the group. It got a honorable mention, but we handed those green things out for, you know, for free. And when it came to the show, I had to read it again. And I swear to God, I missed it. This was the gold one, and it was so well done. And it bothered me so much, I didn't know quite what to do. I decided to go to Rooster, and I said, look, I blew it. This, I don't know how, I missed this poem as well as it was written. And the reason, I think it was, I judged it one night, and then judged the other half the next day. My attitude was different, my pain level was different. Man, probably a better to not as good reception or to be able to you know, intake of the information well at night. I don't know what it was, but
the force wasn't with you.
I went to and I told him, I said, this is gold, and I don't know how to fix it, Rooster. He said that was quite all right. He understood and forgave me, but I felt so strongly. That's the first time I questioned myself, because I don't want us to ever think that I rushed through reading to be a judging something, but, you know, I could have. So, yeah, it's something that's like a suggestion to the individual at the time. You know, that's what's... And you're right about...
One poem, you'd be like, oh, this is good, but then if it was 3 months later, you might be like, oh, this one was, It's all about what kind of... If you're in a funny mood and you're like, this is really funny and I really enjoy this. But then maybe if you're really sad, you're like, oh, this really touches me. This one's the winner. And it is so subjective. And sometimes I feel like I hate judging. Not sometimes, like all the time. You can ask Rack before, I'm like, I hate judging. I hate judging. But I love creating contests. It's like I'm my own worst enemy because I love it. I love creating contests and reading people's work and seeing where they're going, but then it comes down to judging, and I'm like, this is awful, because sometimes they're all really good, you know what I mean? And it's just like, what are you going to do? And that's why I never hand out honorable mentions, not because I don't think that honorable mentions is good. Like, I think, you know, I think it is great to have an honorable mention, but I never hand them out, because I want that person who entered the contest to be able to go into those second chance contests that say never has won an award. Here's your second chance, because I'm like, this is worth a, you know, this is worth a gold or a silver or a bronze, but these other ones just outbeat it at this time, you know. But this doesn't mean that it's not a gold winning poem. It just means it's not a gold winning poem right now with me judging and this contest with these other poems. And
that's
why
Scott.
I do that. No, I don't. I have not. I stopped handing out because I only do contests of eight. So like if I did a 30 poem contest, I probably would hand up honorable mentions. But I only do contests that allow eight entries because I don't want to read more than that in one contest. So if I did like a 30 poem contest, yeah, I would do honorable mentions because there's 30 poems. But you know, when it comes to eight, I just do the top three. That's it. That's how I.
Let me ask you something.
So.
Did you ever run contests, or did you ever enter contests, or remember entering contests where it's just one picture, and then, you know, let's say you got 15 different, you got 15 slots or such, and you get all the interpretations of the same picture? Because I found that.
Yeah, I do that with Shutter Button. That's my Shutter Button contest. I have done like 600-700 Shutter Button contests, and some of them are just a picture of a brick wall. Some of them are pictures.
Yeah, I think
I
entered
all pictures
one.
That I've taken. Yeah. Yeah, and it's just all pictures
that I've taken.
Yeah, and
yeah,
what I always say what I love most is that I have one picture, and I'm the person who took it. I was there. I know what it is.
Yeah.
And then between all the eight different people that have entered, I've now experienced this one picture that I took in eight different ways. Like some of them tell me stories about mountains of where they are locally. Some of them go completely different from than I saw it, or they see things in the picture that I'm like, oh, I never would have highlighted that. And I get to see my own photo in a whole different perspective. So many different ways.
Yeah.
In the woods, the light,
if you have a canopy over you, you know, the tall trees, the time of day when the light penetrates with the rays through the trees.
Yeah.
On the trails.
Yeah, and some people focus on the light, and some people focus on the debris, and some people focus on the forest, or someone
shadows.
Talks about life journey, you know, and it's not even about the forest, it's about their life's journey, and they're just using the forest as a metaphor. So there's just so many different ways that they can do that. I really enjoy it. Yeah.
It'll be Yoda.
Cool.
Hmm. All right, so I'm going to tell you the next two
topics.
You're not off topic, right. You're perfect. I love Conversation Hatter, I really do. I like to go where the conversation goes. I'm very much flexible in that way and think the shows run better that way, so you're absolutely fine. But I am going to play my next two clips. I'm not going to play them back-to-back. I'm going to play one, and then I'm going to play the other. I'm going to play one. I'm going to say a little words, play it, and then say a little words, and then play it, and then we're going to plug shows, and then we're going to go from there,
little
and I might bring another Star Wars one. I'm sorry?
Little words? Just the little ones. Just the little words. Okay.
Will you say a few words.
Were
you worried that after you played the clip, confused you with the clip?
I'm a little lost.
Play the clip.
There's more. Yeah, play the clip.
Roll on two. Oh no, that was Paul Edgecombe. We don't want to roll on two, right? So the next one was a cool episode. Or I'm gonna fry. That was a terrible joke. Terrible Green Mile joke. I don't know. You said roll on two. All I could hear was Paul Edgecombe from the Green Mile. Roll on two. So the next one is a cool one, and it wasn't my favorite, but it was a really good one. I really enjoyed it. It wasn't, like, my favorite one, but it really was good. I liked the idea of seeing the seeing stones, and you'll see what I mean when we get into the clip. And here we go.
What does the stone show?
There's a clash between two figures. There's a third shape as well, but I can't read it.
Does this take place in the past or future then?
I think that these are from the future. It feels close to me, but also far as well. They're gone. The vision's faded.
Your will is not yet strong enough, and that is why your reading is imperfect. We must improve this to grow.
How does keeping a record help? There is a war going on, and the Sith are winning it. If we do nothing about it, they will lay waste to the galaxy. And all these messages, we need to share them with the Jedi.
You mistake this for a Jedi temple.
If I may, there is so much precious knowledge tangled within the fabric of this place. And have you considered that our role is meant to be bigger? We need to tell them what we know.
There's much you don't understand. War and conflict are constants. They are both built on the sands of time, which will continue to ebb and flow for all eternity. And their record remains on these stones. We read and keep the record. That is all.
It can't be. There has to be more to this. Why is no one allowed to go up to the statues? And what if we could change everything by cutting off the dark head? Council, I was raised at a hidden temple on Dur Gadak, a planet far in the Outer Rim. There are two large statues hidden by clouds for centuries there, one representing the light, the other dark. When the rain falls from the clouds, it spreads across the rocks, creating prophetic images. But they last only for a brief moment before evaporating back into the clouds. I believe if I go back there and cut off the dark head, it could change the tide of the war. I am aware of the risks. I am prepared. And so I request you approve a mission there.
Then what you're saying is that by breaking the mirror, we may stand a chance to alter what the mirror reflects. The idea is not outrageous.
What? You cannot possibly take this seriously.
Well, let's trust the Force then. Before you go, we shall also send a Jedi on this journey to accompany you. Tol is destined for this. I sense it.
Go! I'll
off.
You came all the way to the statues of prophecy. How pointless. But now I find that they are connected, not unlike us. Come, give yourself over to the dark. Enjoy it. Don't choose to smolder into a meaningless pile of ashes. Instead, we can conquer the galaxy.
I'll never join you!
There's great darkness in you. Such anger and fear.
No, there's not! You lie!
It's just like I said. Pointless, you see.
The heads. They're lightning. Dark energies are tangling up.
You were right. No matter what we do, it won't end. There's no way to stop this war. And even if we did, it doesn't matter. Another would just arise.
Nothing is fixed. Light and dark will always coexist. And if nothing is set in stone, that means there will always be hope. We are always caught in the tide of uncertainty, but the next wave carries as much hope as it does despair. Ada, I actually really needed this mission. And I think you did too.
You know, we make a pretty good team.
Let's get back to continue this fight. But we're gonna need a new ship, since you kind of crashed our last one, pilot.
What? Are you serious? Well, I wasn't the one who crashed the speeder. That's on you, Jedi. So I'd say we're even.
Are you kidding? Crashing a ship is so much worse.
Oh, for what it's worth, you've definitely destroyed any illusions I had about the mighty Jedi.
Awesome. That was a cool one. This next episode was my top three. So it was in, I said that there were three episodes of this volume set that I enjoy the most. This was one of them, and it was called Spy Dancer. And the choreography with the way that she dances and twirls around, and it was just amazing. And then when she started fighting with the cloth that, you know, she kind of danced around the room with was cool. The storyline I felt was really touching, and I think that's why I loved it so much. I think the ones that I liked are I guess, more touching than kind of quirky, but I'm going to go ahead and press play, and then we're going to plug shows. So here we go.
The most clueless Imperials you can get front row seated as requested.
You sure they haven't made you?
I've gotten the hang of it now. Let me help you with
this.
No.
Oh, come on. I'm done with the sweet waitress act. Let me do more.
You're not ready yet. Don't interfere with the show.
The show is pointless. How can you still bear to serve these invaders?
It is. Don't start. We talked about it.
I want to play a bigger part against the Empire.
For now, I need you to stay put.
I am not a child anymore.
So stop pouting then. Come on, chin up.
Oh, every night the room is filled with imps, yet every night we lose a chance to fight back.
Louis? You there?
Hey, John.
How are you doing?
Counting the days, as usual.
We're nearly there, Louis. Until then, let's keep ourselves clear of the rain and the bloody troopers. Hey, did you receive my package? Those are the last trackers.
Really? Do these ones even work this time?
Don't fret. Remember, I'll be able to follow every one of their dirty imperial steps on my monitor. Louis, such intel to the rebellion will be precious. I just need to fix our way out, that's all.
Do you really think we have a way out, John?
Yes. Don't worry. I know my way around machine. Oh my.
All those years helping the rebellion. And for what?
Oh, come on, Louis. What we do here will change the tides for the whole galaxy.
I'm not a stargazer, John. I just want to move on.
Hang in there, little dancer. Soon we'll all be free.
Yeah, well, now fix your bloody machines for a start. I have to go. It's show time.
Are you okay?
Take everyone and leave.
What? But it's great. They thought it was part of the show.
Go after these skeptics. Now, look out for John. You stay with him.
Why? Didn't you pay him a...
No, it is...
No, he...
You're still there, John?
Louis, is everything all right?
This is on our way with the others.
What?
Send someone to pick them up at the exit.
What is going on, Louis? Did something go wrong? Why aren't you with them?
I have one last thing to do here.
Don't compromise the mission. We worked hard on this.
I know, John. But this is the only way I can be free.
Louis, from me.
I need answers.
Why don't you fight?
20 years ago, the Empire raided our village, led by a man wearing the same emblem as yours, holding the same cane. They destroyed everything, killed everyone.
So it's about revenge?
Took my son.
What's that to do with me?
He would be your age. What did the Empire do to you?
How dare you! The Empire's role is to bring order to the galaxy. And I'm proud to be an armed wing. Like my father before.
How dare you call this man your father and all his king? Why do you hide your true nature?
Enough with your nonsense! The Empire will have your head...
They already took everything when they ripped you away from me.
Thank you.
I just kept that last little bit because I like the music so much. Yeah, I really like that one. All right, let's talk about upcoming shows. So tomorrow night is three-piece show on Major Loss, and it is the postponed show that from a bit ago, and she is talking and celebrating about 2023 Comedy Wildlife Photography winners, and there are a lot of funny photos. I know that I highlighted the sleepy owl one, but there's also these birds, and it looks like one bird is like yelling at the other one, and it's comical. I'm not really sure what these kangaroos are doing, but they look like they're having fun. So go check it out, and she is live at 10 o'clock. And then, of course, on Friday, we have a Dr. Gamage. I'm not actually sure. I don't see a topic board for her.
Yeah.
I thought she was on, but I don't. It is, but I just.
I'll drop her a note.
Second. All right. So yes. So she. I can't remember if she does if she does the first three of the month or just two. But I'm gonna plug it just in case. So
two.
It's two a month. Yeah. So then it's not next week. So I don't know what's.
Yeah. Every other month. So. Every other week.
No. Yeah. So I don't actually, because she has one up for the 9th. So I don't think she's actually on next week. I don't think it's this week. But Saturday is you, Hatter.
That's actually, well, it's AP Open Poetry, but the Deverly and me will be there. That's our sponsor.
Okay, and that's on it.
AP
Nine.
Taylor Poetry.
And
it can vary. It's 10 or 11.
Oh, it varies? It's like me? It's like whenever you start, it's when you start?
It's subject to AP's schedule because of some of the problems he's having plus his work. So it's subject to change within 10, like 9, 10, or 11 starting Eastern time, but it's usually 10 o'clock.
I know how that feels.
And he says it lasts at least an hour.
It says you're on Friday. On the schedule.
Says what?
Do you have a show for Friday? It says you're on Friday.
Oh, it has me on Friday?
Yeah.
And then the following?
In 2 days.
Friday? Okay, I'll take a look.
No.
I had a music show. My Gary Moore show was postponed, so she's looking for a new slot. I don't know if she filled it. I haven't checked my messages, so that might be it. But,
okay, well,
good.
Stay tuned. There'll be a show. Yeah. So, let's see. So, and then it is JCA on the 4th, and stay tuned for that topic. My guys are killing it with the topics over here, huh?
I think he's doing serial killers.
He's killing it. I know he's killing it. I mean, so it is Sunday Night Murder and Mayhem, and in April of 2012, one of the oddest crimes in Washington State happened in the town of North Bend. It happened as a surveyist, Peter Keller, finished building a fortified bunker on the hillside on a Rattlesnake Ridge. During this time, he videotaped himself building and talking about something he had to finish. He talked about surviving at the bunker for years and what it would take. But this was after he would finish he had to do. What he ended up being was a murdering his wife and daughter and then starting the house on fire to hide all the evidence. But he made mistakes and ended more quickly. In this episode, we will try to figure out where the truth lies in the video footage available to us. This is interesting. All right, so we've got some murdering people. I can't stay on that topic too long because I have nightmares. So I don't want to look at the people because I'll be having dreams about them. So that's on Sunday. So if you love a little, murder mystery, which a lot of people love true crime, like it's really like a genre people very much enjoy. So it's cool that J.C. Hatter is still delving into that. And on Monday at 10 o'clock, Deborah Lee is going live with her Under What Lurks Beneath the Waters topic. A lot of cool ones. I think I already have mine. And I actually was inspired by the sky today. It just looks like a big steel gray sky. Like there's not even like any bit of sky. There's just so much. I mean, it snowed a couple days ago and the trees are still cemented in white ice because it just hasn't warmed up for even the trees for the snow to melt. And usually, like, the trees will get all snowed on, and then the next day it'll be melted. They're, like, frozen solid, weighing down the branches. It is insane. But the sky is just showing that, too, and I was actually like, and I was getting some inspiration for that poem. But she goes live at 10, so pick your prompt. Of course, she always has a word bank that is optional, her crayon color box, so go check that out. On Tuesday, I am back on the air, but because I shuffled my shows around, I'm not sure what I'm going to be doing. I think I'm just going to pull up my Star Wars, so it probably will be most likely The Force Awakens, but we'll see. So stay tuned for that. And, yeah, that brings us around. So that's it.
Yeah, it looks like Friday will be my Gary Moore show.
Okay, so there you go.
I should pay more attention, yeah.
No, I was going to say, I didn't know if you were just going to, because your jukebox is on the 13th, so I didn't know if you were just going to push Gary Moore to the 13th and
yeah.
do something.
Well,
for Friday, I wasn't sure.
Yeah,
I was
going to have the first move to, instead of the last Friday, I was able to take like the first Friday of every month, I think is what I'm scheduled at. So that'll be a regular date. But the jukebox will be landing when there's an empty spot, usually. But designated to Tuesday.
Okay.
You know.
The jukebox is on shuffle.
Very, very funny. All right, so I'm gonna play two more clips, and then I'm going to drop another Star. I'm gonna drop my Star Wars poem. I'm just picking one Hatter hasn't commented on, so he's just at the end of this journey. Hatter, you could write. I love all your Star Wars stuff on everyone. I love Star Wars. Believe it or not, my Star Wars ones haven't seen a lot of light of day because I basically just brought them to my shows and that's about it. But some of them have, but some of them haven't really seen the light of day. This is one of them. It hasn't had a lot of love, but it's one of my favorites. But I'm going to do two more clips and then I'll read that. So the next one. This is a really cool one. Like I said, it was culturally diverse. It was pretty awesome. And then I'm actually going to play these two clips back to back. So I'm going to say, you'll know the shift because you'll see the storyline end. So you will know the shift between the two. And then the second episode that I'm going to play is The Pit. And it was cool. It was like these people were all stuck in a pit and they were like mines, a whole town underneath the ground. And they were mining kyber crystals to make the energy and the light in the prosperous town nearby. And then one person climbs out of the pit and tries to tell the town about them so that they can come save them. And it was interesting. So I'm going to play those two, and then I'm going to read my poem. So here we go.
We know about the storm. We wouldn't be long.
Who is this?
What's that, child?
Nothing. She's hungry, so her stomach just starts making some sounds. That's all.
Ha. How peculiar.
My troopers haven't eaten all day either. The scavengers tell me of a girl they saw in the train with unusual powers. I don't suppose you know any such girl with unusual powers. I expected no less. So I went to these farm villages just beyond the train tracks and burned them all. No survivors. Nothing. None.
Not again. Put it down.
There you are.
Now. It's time.
You go down this tunnel?
She goes down this tunnel with me.
What's going on, Jaruk?
You have shown tremendous courage reaching here. You'll have to let go of her now. You know this is the only way to keep her safe, don't you?
Jaruk!
I always knew you were meant for bigger things. It's time you take that path now.
Why can't he come?
This path is only meant for you. No need to fear. There are others like you here.
The bandit has got to depart now.
The bandit's right for?
Feast and wonder.
We will plunder all the seeds in the galaxy one day. Right, Jaruk?
We must hurry.
Jaruk! May the Force be with you.
Of course, they all yell in unison so the town folks can find them. All right. Okay, Hatter, I usually don't do this, but you usually have a lot of questions, so I'm going to do this. I'm going to read my author's notes before I read my poem. So here we go. In this piece, I mix the canon of Star Wars Legends, which isn't part of Star Wars anymore, right? Because this needs to go over. And the storyline of the Clone Wars following Episode 1. I also turned the phrase, which is, this is not my phrase, so when you hear this specific part, it is a phrase from Maul. Far below, we don't know where we'll fall, far above, far below.
what once was great is rendered small, a phrase Maul heard on Malachor and repeated often. This is meant to be read in the voice of Maul. It is intended to represent his childhood and how he became Darth Maul. So in the beginning, you will hear about his brother and how he basically was, his brother was plucked, him and his brother were plucked to
his night sisters.
Yeah, so they were plucked.
Who it is?
They were plucked from, and basically he was made to be who he was in his final test to see if they completely brainwashed him. So his brother was picked, oppressed, but then he ended up volunteering, so his brother wouldn't, or he ended up not volunteering, but distracting them and kind of making it so that he was picked. But then their final to see if they were, if he was loyal to them, and basically they brainwashed him and he ended up killing his brother. And so it goes into that. It also includes his background with the Night Sisters of Dathomir and Mother Talzin, and deal with Darth Sidious gone wrong. It mentions his time training to be an assassin, and also the time on Malachor when he was made to live the great scourge of Malachor and breathe in the ashes of 1,000 slain Sith. It also goes through the training of Darth Sidious, i.e. Force Rocks, because he tortured him. He hung him upside down over a tank of acid, which is one theory about how he got some of the stuff on his face. Another theory was his culture. There's different storylines. His time with Sidious on Megiddo, where he was thrown into an ice river, and finally his hatred of Sidious after the time being abandoned, then attacked, his final lesson before becoming Darth Maul. This was wrapped up in the mindset of Maul after being cut in half by Obi-Wan Kenobi, crawling out of the refinery shaft and hitching a ride to Lotho Minor in a compact container, where, and then on in there, he basically loses his mind. And so it's a little crazy. So that was all
thank
wrapped
you.
Up. Oh, so I usually don't do that, but I'm going to do that just this time. So this is called Darth Maul, Son of Dathomir. I am Vengeance, brother of feral oppressed Dathomirian, father of Shadow Collective. I am 1,000 death, wielder of the double blade saber. I am assassin, knight brother to Zebrek. I am Sith. I have visions of Malachor, those far above and far below. I feel them die 1,000 deaths, far above, far below. A prophecy told by burnt coffin skins, wailing of that which was once great, rendered small. My past and future, dream nightmares, I can't escape. There once was Mother Talzin, matriarch of the Night Sisters, shaman of dark magics and wielder of the Force. It was she who was seduced by power, trained to become a Sith apprentice. But in the jaws of promise were the teeth of betrayal, and in that shadow dark, I was stolen. I had visions of Malachor, those far above and far below, a prophecy told in burnt coffin skins, wailing of which once was great, rendered small. I live in nightmare, a hail of boulder and malice, slowly descending into a vat of acid, upturned and tied helpless. Fear. Fear. Fear rising like the mountains of Megiddo, crystal spurs and ancient mounds, cleverly lashing licks of cold water. Fear swallowed and anger coughed up. I have visions of Malachor, those far above and far below, burnt coffin prophecies wailing, what was great is rendered small, fractured, lost, lost, lost. I taste his blood like ashes once inhaled, master's flesh ripped from hand, that cold hand, that dead hand. And with a savage hiss, it is spit upon his face. Oh, how he laughs, that animal-like laugh one sees in the gleam of eyes before a kill. I circle and I circle. I bend and I warp. There are visions, I once called memory. Here in the wasteland of Lotho Minor, where I feed on rats and revenge, where I remember crawling half out of lower shaft bowels, then into compactor transport. I circle and I circle in a maze of trash tunnels with mechanical spider legs, feeding on vision and warped realities of past, present, and future, with one name upon its tongue, upon my tongue. And that is Kenobi, because he screams. I used to have it in the studio, but I don't think I transferred it over, but it's Kenobi.
Okay, he was cut in half. He was cut in half and then escaped in a trash compactor.
Yeah, so the idea of it is that his hatred, even though he was cut in half, so everybody's like, everybody was really upset because they were like, Darth Maul died. He can't be brought back. And Star Wars brought him back. But I'm like, you know what?
Okay.
They can bring whoever they want back. That's fine. So the thing is
sure.
that the way that they kind
he
of did it was
name.
That,
yeah.
well, no, what they did was that he was kept alive by his hatred. His hatred was so great
yeah.
that it
okay.
kept him alive. And then it transformed him into a monster. So he had these spider-like legs. But then when the Dathomirian sisters stepped in again and then used their magic to give him mechanical legs, which were pretty awesome. So there's that whole thing there.
Yeah, and I was just suggesting he change his name to Horatio.
No.
No, okay.
All right, so that's it.
It's funny. It's funny in my head.
I'm trying
okay.
to see. It's fine.
No, so how are you doing? You've asked everybody else, so how's Sky doing? Tried being really tired.
I'm doing good. I'm trying to see if I have Kenobi still in here. But I don't think I do.
Are you adjusting to your new place?
I am. It's great. It's wonderful. I don't have it.
So you're no longer there by the bridge. You're no longer there where you look out and you see the bridge.
I'm in the same place, but no, I can't. I'm not in that section, so no, I can't see the waterfall. But it's still,
oh, okay.
still really nice. It's still nice, yeah. All right. So how was that explanatory to his storyline?
Yeah. Thank you, Sky. Thank you. Got to explain it before you read it. I'm lost. Yeah.
That one specifically is a little abstract, especially because it's being told by a madman.
You know,
I'm
just not familiar with the characters, so I'm a little lost when you play them. I can surely appreciate it, and like I sent you, I'm jealous that I don't have the memories you do of it, the passion for it. That's cool.
I need to talk about it. Yeah, I was like, this will help. Okay, so. So much for my. I love how I'm like, I'm going to end early, and I did not. just because we have so much fun here. I am going to play my last clip and then play the outro music and end. So this is going to be. You know what I haven't done? I haven't done my thank yous last time. I don't think I did thank yous last night. I think I did most of the other times, but last night I don't think I did.
No.
But thank you.
Gotcha.
Sweet
You're
Pea,
welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, Sweet Pea, your voice is so... Thank you so much, thank you so much, Rack and Tor and Hatter, for calling and participating and talking Star Wars with me. And again, I'll be on next Wednesday like I said, I'm probably going to push my shows up. And just keep in mind that the end of next month, I know it's ways away, but people like to have notice. I am doing my D&D show, so get your warlocks on. I like poems about warlocks. So if you don't have a warlock poem, find one. Write one.
You
have a whole month to go figure it out. There you go. But we are doing the D&D warlocks. All right. So here we go. This last episode that we're going to end on, I thought was really cool. She sings. There's this town, and they mine Kyber crystals, but they're all red. But then they have to go find Jedi to purify them, and then there's this little girl, and her father's like, don't sing. Your voice bothers the Kyber crystals. But really, it's her voice is making them pure again so that they're regular Kyber crystals and they're not red like the Sith. And then she ends up doing, like, the entire mountain with just a song, and I thought it was a really cool idea. So I'm going to go ahead and press play to that, and I'm going to go right into the outro music. So thank you, guys. And I hope you have a good evening.
You're welcome. Okay, why was the broom late for work?
Because
he overswept. He overswept.
No, I didn't want you to. I was going to tell you, don't give the answer. That's why I cut Rack off. Oh. I was like, wait, don't give the answer. And then I was going to let you get anyway.
One more. What did the fish say when he swam into the dam? Swam into the wall. Never mind. I won't interrupt.
I think you're worse than I am at telling jokes. That's a hard thing to beat.
We haven't come and did the end of your show lately.
I've got one.
Do you have the commercial from Admiral Akbar cereal?
Yeah, I do. I think I do. Let me see. But while I look for that,
make that button in.
Well, I'm gonna go. I have to open up a new tab though because I already have everything set up for the outro, and I don't want to lose my spot. But while I'm doing that, okay, why didn't the zombie cross the road?
What?
He didn't have the guts. Did I tell you this already or what?
Nope.
he was following orders.
No, he didn't have the guts.
Didn't have the guts.
What do you call a tick on the moon?
A lunatic.
I told you that one. Don't you? I told you. I know. I told you that one. I know I did. All right. Why did the zombie quit teaching? I know a lot of. I have godchildren and their boys and they love zombies. So, yeah. Why did the zombie?
Didn't they eat brains? Because he ate brains.
Because he only had one pupil. And that was funny. I don't have, so I thought I have, I mean, I know I have it, but it's just not here. So maybe I didn't upload it when I transferred. I know, but I really feel like I did. I really feel, okay, let me go down to my Star Wars section. I'll tell you one more while I'm waiting. It's a zombie called the jogger.
Fast food.
Listen, have I told you all my jokes or are you just that good? I don't know.
Trust me, you didn't tell me.
Okay, he's just that good. Yeah, I don't have it. I have Imperial March, Seeing Stone. I have this one.
It is obvious that this contest cannot be decided by our knowledge of the Force, but by our skills with the Seeing Stone of Sauron.
Of course, so Christopher Lee, obviously, because he's amazing.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings and Star Wars. Yeah, I don't. I know. I have to still have it somewhere. I'll load it in. Any other requests? So you want Akbar cereal? anything else would you like? While I'm fixing this, not today. I don't think that transferred over either. Some of them I didn't save in my files, so the ones that I have are ones that I saved in my files, and so it was easier. I didn't have to re-download them. All right, so you want It's a Trap and the Akbar cereal. You've got it. I do have Liam Neeson.
What I do
Qui-Gon
have
Jin.
Are a very particular set of Jedi skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for Sith Lords like you. I will find you, and I will use the Force to kill you.
A little bit of Taken and Star Wars together. Okay, I'm going to get those two in the studio for you, and I'm going to go ahead and play my outros. Okay, guys, have a great evening. I'll see you next time I see you. All right, here we go.
Nice, guys.
Apologies, guys.
Nice.
My daughter, sometimes she has more curiosity than sense.
Ow! I told you not to...
Oh. You've grown. I'm so curious. They called to you.
I'm afraid Au and I must get to work. Your Kaiba.
Of course. Thank you, Abba. We are grateful for your labors.
No thanks needed. To mine the Kaiba is our calling.
Yes, and it takes courage to heed the call. I have some business in town, but perhaps I'll visit the mine later and see the new deposit.
Ow! This cannot keep happening. You know that to use your voice near the crystal is dangerous. It frightens me to think what will happen when I'm not there to protect you. You must learn restraint, Au. Do you understand? I just want you to be safe. Okay, let's go.
She purified the Kyber.
She purified the Kyber.
How?
Your voice, Al. Across the thousands of stars I have traveled, never have I heard anything like it. It is a gift. And I can help you nurture it, but you would have to come with me.
But her life is here.
We cannot choose where our calling takes us, only whether or not to answer. Consider it. I'll be leaving in a fortnight.
Using blog talk.